In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. Well, the question could be raised, how are we here today? Because in the gospel story, we have Christ telling the Canaanite woman that he came only to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I know there are a few of us here who have Jewish blood in us, but most of us do not. So it's interesting. So why this discussion between Christ and the Canaanite woman? Well, for one thing, Christ had just recently told his apostles. He told them, he said, when you go out, he sent them out, and he said, do not go to the Gentiles, but only go to the house of Israel. Only go to, once again, seek and save the lost sheep of Israel. So it's obvious that Christ, throughout his earthly ministry, focused on Israel, that he focused on the people from which he had come. St. Augustine has an interesting take on this. He points out, first of all, that those who are going to accuse him, the scribes and the Pharisees, that he doesn't want to give them any opportunity to make disparaging remarks about him, that he's not going to the Jews, but instead going to the Gentiles. And he says, because they were chosen to receive the law, this is the nation of Israel, they were unwilling to respond to Christ, the author of humility. He, though he was God, became man, yet man does not recognize that he is a man, that he is mortal, weak, a sinner, a sick person, that he should seek a physician. So this is talking about the pride of those who had received the law, those who were a part of the chosen people. And so they had this pride and they ended up rejecting him. And because of this, Christ first wanted to go to save those that he came from. Hilary of Poitiers also speaks of this. He says, the daughter of the Canaanite, the one that, you know, she was coming and asking for healing for her daughter. So he says, the daughter of the Canaanite represented a type of the church. When the woman kept asking for what was bestowed upon others, in other words, she represented the church of the Gentiles, when she was coming and asking for salvation that had come through the Jews, had been given to the Jews. Not that salvation was not to also be given to the Gentiles, but that the Lord had come to his own and among his own, awaiting the first fruits of faith from those he took his roots from. The others, the Gentiles, us, subsequently had to be saved by the preaching of the apostles. So, like I said, Christ told the apostles not to go to the Gentiles. And then he himself didn't really go to the Gentiles. He was in a Gentile area when this happened, but he didn't go there to preach. He withdrew, as he did many times, to kind of recharge. He withdrew to pray and to fast and to connect into his divinity, because obviously he was God, before going back out to preach some more. St. Jerome said, talking about what I said earlier, about how he was willing to give the Pharisees kind of the idea that he had done something wrong by going to the Gentiles instead of bringing the promise to the nation of Israel. He said that he was unwilling to give his detractors, the Pharisees and the scribes, an opportunity to accuse him, and that he reserved a fully accomplished salvation at the time of his passion and resurrection. In other words, that the Jews knew to look for a Messiah. They expected a Messiah. So to them, it wasn't a surprise that he came around as the Messiah, and many of the people were expecting that. And of course, as I've said many times, they were expecting a different kind of Messiah. But to the Gentiles, they didn't know to look for this Messiah. So in a sense, once the work of salvation had been completely finished with his death and resurrection, then he brought that fully completed salvation to the rest of us, to the Gentiles. So we have this amazing discussion. We have this discussion where this woman comes and says, please save my daughter. She's possessed by a demon. And his response is, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and knelt before him. This is what he said to the apostles first. I was only sent to them. But she came and knelt and continued begging. She said, Lord, help me. And Jesus answered, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now in the Middle East, this is a huge, huge insult. Calling someone a dog is so much more of an insult than it is here. But, you know, here, you know, you refer to someone as a dog and it's somewhat of an insult, but we love our dogs and in a way that back then they were not loved. They weren't treated as pets. And so how does she respond to that? Does she respond indignantly? Well, okay, whatever. No. She refers to herself as a dog and actually then refers to those that he said that he had come to seek and save as the master. Not only did she humble herself in reference to herself, but she exalted the Jews at this point in time. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So look at this great humility that she has, that she has come and humbled herself. As I mentioned, there were those, the religious leaders of the time among the nation of Israel, that did not humble themselves. They did not lower themselves and recognize the need of their salvation. That quote from Augustine that I quoted a little bit earlier talks about this, that our God humbled himself in the most amazing way possible, that he basically set aside his divinity. He didn't set aside it. He basically hid it and did not kind of claim for himself his full divinity in order to become a man, to become one of us. And Augustine points out that we as men don't even recognize the humility that he had. The humility that he had in becoming a man, we don't recognize that we're sick, that we're sinful, that we're in need of a physician, of the great physician. And so in our pride, and in the pride of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't see their need for a physician, and yet this woman did. This woman showed her humility. And likewise, the centurion who came and asked Christ to heal his daughter and said, I'm not worthy that you come under my house. Once again, showing that great humility. And Augustine in this passage also has a great illustration of this. He talks about how we must empty ourselves in order to be filled. That when it rains, that the hills that are since are filled don't have the water. The water comes off them. It's the valleys that then can accept and keep the water. And that should be how we should respond to God in the same way that that the Canaanite woman and that the centurion and that many others throughout Christ's ministry responded to him with humility, recognizing that in a sense we are empty, that we are in need of healing, that our sin is like a disease that makes us sick, and that the only healing can come through this great physician who came to seek and save the lost. But as we know from the rest of the story, not just the loss of the sheep of the house of Israel, but the whole world. He, of course, at another time mentioned that he has sheep from another sheepfold that they do not know about. And what he was referring to then is he was referring to us. He was referring to the Gentiles, those who weren't part of the house of Israel. But see what is necessary. Those who rejected him because of their pride, because they were not willing to recognize their need for the great physician. So let us humble ourselves and, like the Canaanite woman, recognize the great gifts that are given to us by the great physician for our salvation. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.